Welcome back. 517. Wow. Way ahead of myself. Time really flies when you're having fun. 517, 730 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. Andy Parks, live from the Washington Times. Great to have you along. Stephen Dynan joins me now. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Andy.
All right, a couple things we need to talk about. First of all, what happened in the Senate today? Anything good?
Yeah. I don't know if it's good or bad, but it was exciting. The defeated, actually filibustered, both the Democrats' alternative and the Republicans' alternative to sequesters. Both of them fell way short of the 60 votes needed to move on, and 13 different people, I guess actually 12 people legitimately. Harry Reid was one of these guys who had to switch his vote. So in reality, 12 senators, 3 Democrats and 9 Republicans, voted against both plans, all of which sort of underscores the sequesters are, as somebody put it, a bad idea whose time has come.
All right, so tomorrow I guess we go through the meeting and then we'll figure all of this mess out sometime over the weekend, maybe. Right.
Yeah, it's going to be a slow rolling process to see exactly how the cutting is done, and you know, we've seen a lot of threats so far. This is the Republicans' chance. The Republicans said, okay, President Obama, you make your cuts, and now he's going to get to spend the next month or two going through and basically announcing just how excruciatingly painful each of these is. And so, you know, the blame and finger pointing is just beginning. Mm-hmm. Now that we're where we are.
Okay. All right, move on to something else. Just a quick note on this. Jack Lew confirmation, that was quick and quiet, wasn't it?
Yeah. You know, sort of between the we've had a confirmation for John Kerry, who was almost, you know, almost unanimously confirmed for Secretary of State. We had Chuck Hagel, who was narrowly confirmed for defense, and Lew was, well, I guess you could say, is right in the middle of that. So,
mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's, you know, it's I guess that sort of goes along with the level of controversy over him. There were a number of Republicans who were upset with his nomination performance, but you know, I guess a lot of folks just sort of figured he's been around. He wasn't particularly offensive. They just wanted to take another swipe at another Obama guy who they don't think is going to be able to right the economic ship.
Okay, and I guess looking ahead, Brennan would be next at some point.
Yeah, that Brennan is the next big one in the pipeline. There are a couple of Defense Department actual civil, you know, uniformed service major generals and admirals who are up, but Brennan is the next real big one coming mm-hmm. down the pike. And we, you know, and there are others. Obviously, we've had all these resignation announcements from, I believe, you know, everything from Interior to Energy Department and those,
right.
which we'll get. I mean, it's a major cabinet reshuffling that's going on right now. It's not unusual to head of a second term, but the number of folks out there is really surprising. So it'll be interesting to see who else we get and whether we get other fights. But Brennan, just the national security implications and the drone program and whatnot will be a real fight.
Yeah, CIA head. Okay, now I want to take you to the story that got my attention, and that was ICE to blame for release of illegals, and that comes from the White House. Now, we've kind of been tossing this story back and forth over the past couple of days, and now we have an ICE official who accidentally tripped and fell on the sword.
I guess I actually don't think ICE says that this official had always been planning on going and had actually alerted them earlier. Now, of course, I guess the letter to employees went out this week, and so that sure does look like an interesting coincidence that it happens after we get this interesting release of immigrants and whatnot. So, you know, it's one of these situations where I don't quite know what to believe. It's entirely possible that this guy was on the way out and it was a bad coincidence, but given, it's sort of tough to figure out the White House in this. You know, they very carefully said, oh, we had nothing to do with that, career professionals, but then went on to defend the decision. Didn't say it was a bad decision, said, hey, this is a cost savings. And so, you know, in some ways, they're in a bad position. If they had walked back from it and said, no, this is not sequester related, that would have been an implicit acknowledgement that there are some limits to what's going to be cut in sequesters, and there are some steps that they simply won't take. And so, you know, obviously they didn't want to do that, so they had to defend it, even as they were trying to argue they had nothing to do with it. So, you know, the sequester stuff is going to be nasty, and these are the sorts of decisions and you know, blame games they're going to have to sort of figure out and sort through as we go from here on. So this is just the first of those, and I imagine we're going to see a number of other ones when you see people making these sorts of decisions about what's getting cut. There may be more people losing jobs, not just in the immigration services, but all around when people come out and say, oh, these are so awful, we have to cut here. And somebody comes in later and says, well, no, actually, you could have cut over here. It's going to be a lot of second guessing.
Hey, do me a favor. Do you know the number of people actually released? Because it depends on who you listen to, who you watch. I've gotten everything from 400 to 10,000.
Yeah, this so Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, says that it's several hundred is the number. We don't actually – they've not released an official number from the agency. Bob Goodlatte, who's the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, said that he has heard that there – well, he hinted to us that there were that the number could be in the thousands, and that is based on information he's received from within within the agency, apparently. So, you know, I don't quite know. Nobody knows. Well, I assume ICE knows, but nobody publicly knows right now the exact number. What we do know is that the chairman of a different committee, the chairman of the Homeland Security Committee, has written a letter demanding to know exactly how many, who they are, why they were being held in the first place, and what sort of supervision they're still under. You know, some of these folks have been released on their own recognizance, and some of them have been released with electronic monitoring, we're told, and so it would be interesting to see who got released under which level, and for that matter, you know, if they were being held initially, then the thought is that they were, there's a reason why they were being held, that we want to keep them out of society and to let them back in. It'll be interesting to see why they were being held initially.
Yeah, I saw a report a little while ago from one of the people who happened to be, you know, released, and the guy talked to a reporter and said, I couldn't believe it. I was walking out of jail, and I just didn't know why. I just assumed they made a mistake, and they were letting me go, because I had no idea I was on this list, and, you know, they cut me loose.
Yeah, that was a CNN report, and very, very interesting. Now, you know, what I couldn't figure out from that report was whether, why he would have been being held in the first place, and if he would, had been held for a long time. It sounded like that guy might have been somebody who was just brought in for processing and probably would have been released anyway, that there wasn't a particular criminal reason why he would have been held. So, and this is all the information that we'll maybe get if this one committee chairman's request is, if we get that. You know, there's going to be a lot of eyeballs looking to see if any of these folks go on to commit crimes while out on the streets. That's the sort of thing that will really reflect badly on the Obama administration.
And just to be clear, the process has been stopped, at least for the moment?
Well, they did their review and released the ones that they've already decided they could release, but that doesn't mean that we won't see, you know, as we go forward, ICE is going to make a decision about how many beds it can actually fill. Out of the 34,000 that it is funded for, it's going to make a decision how many of those beds it can actually continue to fund under the sequesters, and then it will always make decisions about, okay, out of this population, you know, at any one time, there are probably hundreds of thousands of people waiting to deportation who have been ordered deported or in deportation proceedings and whatnot, since we deport about 400,000 people a year. So, the number of people that could be held is probably much higher than the 34,000 beds that we have. So ICE is always making these decisions. The difference this time is that we have 34,000 beds that could hold these people, and we are actually holding a lower number officially, 30,000. I think 30,700 was the number as of last week, which means that there are 3,300 spaces that we were budgeted for if we were at full budget that we are knowingly letting go unfilled.
You had mentioned the House Judiciary Chairman, Virginia's Bob Goodlatte. He says that he wants to go forward with immigration reform, but he wants it to be a go-slow approach. What did he mean by that?
So, you know, the White House is pressuring Congress to move very quickly, so much that the president has essentially set a deadline for this gang of senators to finish writing their bill, or else he's going to, we already saw him leak his bill, and he said that he'll actually send that bill up to Congress and get a senator here to introduce it and demand a vote on it. So he's pressuring for very quick action, partially because he doesn't want, you know, Hispanic voters, immigrant rights advocates who are really energized after the election to lose that energy and lose the momentum. Goodlatte is saying, no, 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 we need to do a lot more study. You know, it's fine and dandy for the White House to say move, 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 but members need to study this issue. This is not the sort of thing to rush. And so he said he's going to go through and continue to hold a number of hearings, make sure that every part of the issue is examined so that lawmakers aren't just voting based on emotion, but are voting based on information and looking at how the different parts of a broad bill would interact with each other. And so it's worth noting, he said that the decision hasn't even been made whether he'll go ahead with a one big broad bill, you know, a comprehensive immigration bill, or whether he'll move it piece by piece, which is what John Boehner, the Speaker of the House, had suggested would happen last year. So a lot of decisions still to be made there.
Okay. And one final thing before I let you run, because I've been playing this for everyone today because I find it very amusing. This is Congresswoman Maxine Waters about 3 hours ago.
Caused these job losses, over 170 million jobs that could be lost.
That's the whopper of the week, as far as I'm concerned. I've heard a lot of comments related to sequester, but not that we would lose 170 million jobs.
Yeah, I don't know this, but I think every time I look at the job numbers, I actually don't know that the American economy supports 170 million jobs in the first place.
139.
Total employment is somewhere around 130, 140 million.
139 is the last number we have.
So I guess we're going to go into a jobs deficit. We'll have to hire 30 million people just to fire them.
Yeah, or if you're working two jobs, you're going to lose them both.
Oh, there you go. Now you're starting to get into my area.
All right, Stephen, great to talk to you. Thanks.
My pleasure.
See you. Stephen Dinan, Washington Times political editor.